You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Veach Season, baby. One more week closer to the draft. One more week still on the air. Still not canceled. Not canceled as far as the quality of this program goes. Not canceled in our personal lives. You know, we're not canceled on social media.
That's true.
Knock on wood, Kramer Sansa. Knock on wood, baby. We are here to stay, question mark?
Yes, we are.
We still haven't received word from Brett Veach about our offers to join his scouting department or his team yet. We assume they're lost in the mail because he snail mailed them, I guess, or maybe it got caught in our spam filter for our email addresses. Not sure. But you know, we reached out to Mina Kimes. She said, no, who are you guys? We reached out to a couple other people in the draft community, and still the people's draft analysts, still the underdog, still the voice coming to you from the underground. You know, we are the the CBGB equivalent of draft analysts in the 80s, right? And so we're the punk rock draft analysts coming at you. Everybody, so good to talk to you guys. We missed you guys this past week, and it's that time, Crame. What's hot with Crame Dog?
What's up, buddy? Rocky, I'm glad we're on this one more week. We're still going to have it more week after week after week. We'll be here. Of course we will. No, what's hot right now is Kid Cudi, my favorite rap artist of all time, released his tour, and your boy got tickets to it. He's actually going to be here in Kansas City in August. I think it's August 4th. Cannot wait for it. Love Kid Cudi. The fact he's actually coming to Kansas City, I think for the first time in like a long time, it might be his first time here. I just can't wait to go see the man on the moon, the moon man himself, Kid Cudi, live in concert.
So you're a Cudi buddy.
Oh, I love Kid Cudi, man. That's my guy.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, Kid Cudi's pretty sweet. Last concert I went to, so I've really been to two concerts since I became a father, and they were actually both in the last 18 months. And one was Kendrick Lamar.
Nice.
Which I had to negotiate the price of those tickets and the timing of that with my wife months in advance. And the other one was more random and a little bit more short notice, and it was The Offspring. You know, so it was Sum 41 and The Offspring came to town, and we went to go see them.
Can't say I know them.
Punk rock, baby.
It's not my type of genre right there.
Yeah, well, it's also not your time either. That's true. They came out when I was young. And so if they came out when I was young, you were like Coco Melling it up, you know, like you had your
I was in diapers.
Yeah, you were in diapers. Dude, Kid Cudi, that's what's up. Dude, that's awesome.
Can't wait, man.
All right. So some Chiefs news this week, man.
Was there some? Did we miss something? Did something happen? Maybe
there was some things that happened in Chiefs news this week. Really big news in the last week.
Huge.
That everybody's been kind of on pins and needles waiting for it to come about, and we finally have some resolution to the issue. Will they, won't they? The answer is they will. The Chiefs brought back Derek Nnadi to the team. Derek Nnadi is back in the fold, everybody. That another run stuffer to go slide in rotation with Mike Pinnell right next to Chris Jones to just solidify this defensive line to really make it so the Chiefs can have best player available. It's really the news that everybody's been waiting for. How do you feel about the Chiefs bringing back Derek Nnadi, Kramer saying, son?
I mean, whenever Derek Nnadi's on the team, I guess they win Super Bowls, right? That's just what happens. He's a rotational piece with Chris Jones. They're like a 1-2 combo. So good for the Chiefs on this one. It's a big, massive, massive signing, re-signing of Derek Nnadi, man.
It's probably the biggest move of the offseason so I would far. Say. I don't know what could have happened that would have topped that. I mean, maybe the Chris Jones extension, arguably.
Yeah, it's huge.
I guess maybe Hollywood Brown.
That was kind of big.
Yeah.
But Derek Nnadi, he's a bigger man.
Physically, he's bigger. Mike Pinnell might physically be bigger than Derek Nnadi. So maybe Pinnell.
He got re-signed as well.
All right, so Mike Pinnell was the biggest news of the offseason.
Yeah.
And then I think Chris Jones maybe might be height-wise is taller than Derek Nnadi.
But Is he more girthy?
I guess it's the age-old question. What's more important, length or girth?
It's all in how you use it, I guess.
Yep. So we're going to stop right there because this is how we get canceled.
What actually happened, though, Rocky?
Okay, actually, so we also do have resolution. Legarius Sneed is no longer a Kansas City Chief. Legarius Sneed was traded to the Tennessee Titans for a 2025 third-round draft pick and a flop of seventh-round draft picks. Didn't see the number on that, but I know that Tennessee has picked 42? Something like that.
It's a seventh-round pick, Rocky. It's not like it's going to be
it's not
a big
factor. It doesn't matter. That's the truth of the matter. So the Chiefs have a higher seventh round pick, a higher lottery ticket than they had before. To be honest, the return on this is kind of underwhelming. We waited all this time for a pick that's going to be in effect next year. My initial take on this is two things. Legarius Sneed also signed an extension with the Tennessee Titans. 4 years, $76 million, $55 million guaranteed. Heck yes. Legarius Sneed, get your bag, dude. You deserved it. This is a dude who came in as a fourth-round draft pick, played safety, literally came from one of the highest gun violence per capita communities in America, had his parents incarcerated as a child, went to Louisiana Tech, came in as a safety. Played his way up and practiced and grinded and worked hard until he became the premier lockdown corner in the NFL. This guy came in the hard way and he fought and clawed for everything that he has ever gotten in this game. And not once did you ever hear any sort of like whisper from Legarius Sneed about like, woe is me or my life is hard or like, I want some help, or this isn't fair, or like any sort of like fairness conversation or anything like that. That's not who this guy is. This guy came in and he said, I know who I am and I'm going to show you guys who I am throughout his entire life. This guy's been, I know who I am and I'm going to show you who I am. He lost a sibling to murder. You know, was it last? I think it was last year, the year before last. And you never once heard that being any sort of like excuse or rationale or anything like that for any play on the field or any. A lot of guys would go through this, and you would see them. It would affect them in the point where, in their personal lives, it would cause them to have struggles off field. We've seen that from some Chiefs players. We won't get into that because people are real humans. And that's the thing, like life happens outside of the white lines, right? Mm-hmm. But Legarius Sneed, no matter what's happened to him, he's that guy you can't keep down. And you want to see everything good happen for guys like that. And so compensation of the Chiefs aside, I am so happy for Legarius Sneed. And Legarius Sneed, forever a legend in Chiefs Kingdom. You punched that ball out from Zay Jones, you saved the season, Legarius Sneed. The Chiefs do not win a Super Bowl without your clutch play. I mean, I was watching back the Chiefs Super Bowl video, the one that they put out, like the mic'd up. And he, in the beginning, he's like getting all the defensive backs hyped up. He's like, I got you. I got you. Now you get me. I got you. You get me. Right. And like, that is like he's a leader. He gets people like guys will run through a brick wall for Legarius Sneed. I want to run through a brick wall for Legarius Sneed right now, just thinking about everything he is and everything he's done. Nothing but respect for this guy. And I know I'm ranting and I'm right now, Kramer, and I want to give you a chance to talk about him a little bit. But what are your thoughts on the Sneed situation?
I'm 100% happy for Sneed. He deserves everything coming to him, especially for what he's done on the field, what he's been doing able to also off the field. It was time for him to get paid, and it's time for him to set up his family for the rest of his life, and that's exactly what he did here. But man, a trade coming back. That's it's head scratching. I didn't understand at the point in time with the swapping the seventh round picks. It's like, why are we trading seventh round picks here? Did that actually needed to happen during the actual trade portion for that? And also with how good, or not even with how good, for what the Tennessee Titans have done this offseason, they are, I wouldn't say the legitimate contenders to win a Super Bowl or anything, but they're at least legitimate contenders to win their division. Like, at least we go toe to toe with the Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars, even the Colts. So this third-round pick, if, say, the Titans do good, say they make the playoffs, which with Sneed on your team, you have a great chance of making the playoffs, this might even feel like an early fourth-round draft pick. Like that. This if 2025, that's the only thing that sucks about it. But you know what? I don't care about what the heck happened in return. All I cared about is Legarius Sneed getting what he deserved the entire time.
100%. And like I said, I can only imagine the reason why they do this trade like this is because Brett Veach needed that money off the books because he's got plans for it.
Oh, he's cooking right? Something like, up. Yeah.
Like there's some sort of move. And I'm saying this now, and I know it's going to end up being something kind of underwhelming, like a Donovan Smith coming back, right, kind of thing. And then maybe like three other depth moves. And what I want it to be is like one, instead of spending $19 million on three small moves, I want it to be $19 million on one big move. Like that's just how I'm wired. And I think that's how a lot of Chiefs fans are wired. And I'm afraid that that's not what it is, but I think that he had that money earmarked and he needed it, and he needed to get it off of the books, but he also didn't want to lose him for more than they would have lost him in a conditional pick next year anyway, right? Like mm-hmm. if he walked, he would have got a third round draft pick, you know, most likely, not a guarantee, but most likely would have got a third round draft pick for him if he walked next year. And so I guess they at least wanted to get that compensation hemmed out. And then maybe it was ego. And he said, I need a sweetener. I need something that's more than what I would have already gotten. Right. And they said, okay, we'll flip sevens with you. And then he said, ah, good. There's the edge. Right. That I needed. I don't know. I'm going to reserve judgment on this trade compensation to see what they do with the money. Because in my mind, this isn't just Legarius Sneed for a future third round draft pick. This is Legarius Sneed for a future third round draft pick and whatever they use that $19 million for, right? Because it's freed up that $19 million.
Yeah.
And so if they say go out and they sign a marquee player with it, okay. I like that. Or maybe they engineer a trade for a player and they needed that salary. Okay, maybe I'm okay with it, but I'm pressing pause on my judgment for it. But with that, I'd say cornerback is suddenly a need. You have Trent McDuffie, but he's an all-pro as a slot cornerback. Can he play on the outside? Yes, he's a very good cornerback. He can play anywhere. But do you move a guy away from a position where he is an all-pro, where he is the best in the league at what he does? What do you think?
You don't move. You need to get another corner, no matter what. I think even just to build the depth, even back up even more, because losing Legarius Sneed is like losing two people almost, because it seems like if you think he's on one side of the field, he actually somehow pops up on the other. That's just how I feel like Sneed has played his entire time, even if it is him being a spy, being a pesky person against one of the marquee wide receivers they're going up against. Trent McDuffie, I mean, I wouldn't say he's your prototype type of guy, like with his build. But all of his tangibles, with it being his mindset, his play recognition, like getting off the jump first whenever it's even the plays even going off, like he's great. You need to have another guy. You need his you know how we're yin and yang like together. He needs to have his next guy yin and yang, because even they just need another person out there. Trent McDuffie can't do it all.
Exactly. I'm Beyonce. You're Taylor, right? in this situation. Beyonce. You're Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I like this. All right.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with both of them. If you wanted to flip it, I'd let you be Beyonce.
I mean, if you want to flip, we can do flick and flip it either. I'm cool with either one.
The only reason why I'm going to say I take Beyonce is because a little known fact about me is that I was born on September 4th, 1981 at Shawnee Mission Medical Center. And Beyonce Knowles was born on September 4th, 1981 in Dallas, Texas. Me and her entered the world at the on the exact same day in history.
That's badass.
Which actually probably means we're twin flames, like we're soulmates, and we just don't know it yet. Which I think so. But you know, every day I wake up and I look in the mirror and I say, "Man, look what she's done with her time on Earth, and look what you've done." Oh, and it's just like, wow, you should have done more by now. You should have, like, she's Beyonce, and you're you.
Oh man, Rocky, you can't ever think about that. Come on now.
Nah, I love me. I love my life. I'm joking. I kid. But yes, I'm Beyonce. I'm claiming Beyonce.
I'll be T Swift.
I'm Queen B. Right. Either one's great though. Can't go wrong either way.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, no. They do need another person to get us back on track here. They need another person. Trippy Duffy doesn't have the required length that you want on the outside. But at the same time, LeJarius Sneed didn't have the change of direction or the speed that you necessarily want on the outside either.
He was his arms were awkwardly long for his body. So it helped.
Well, yeah, and you talked about they need more than one person to replace LeJarius Sneed. You honestly probably need three people to replace LeJarius Sneed. You need one person to replace LeJarius Sneed, the press corner. You need another person to replace LeJarius Sneed, the run defender. And you need another person to replace LeJarius Sneed, the pass rusher. Mm-hmm. Like he excelled at all levels of the game. And he was in a pinch, he could play safety. Like that's the whole, like he could play anywhere you needed to on the football field.
He was Spags, probably one of his favorite defensive players. I mean, if I was the defensive head, I'm a defensive coordinator, I would fell in love with him. So Tennessee got a good one.
How many times have you heard me say, give me 11 LeJarius Sneeds and I win the Super Bowl?
A lot. Yeah. Like, even all the post-game shows. Yes.
Every post-game show. Give me 11 LeJarius Sneeds. Like just beating that dead horse over and over again. And I stand by that. My goodness. I love the man. And I think he's one of the best defensive players the Chiefs have ever had. Like, I think he's definitely one of my favorite. Like, I think it goes like Tamba Hali, Derek Thomas, and then probably LeJarius Sneed right below it. Like that's about my rankings there.
Not bad.
So that being said, the Chiefs have a need a cornerback. All right, we're gonna look at a couple free agent options. And if you like them, if the answer is yes, the Chiefs should do it. We're gonna hit the gas. So gas. Okay. And if you don't want them, it's a pass. All right. So gas is yes, pass is no. So gas or pass is what we're calling this segment. We're not putting Cam Sutton on this list, Kramer, because as you noted in our pre-podcast chat, he's busy doing what right now?
He's getting away from the cops. He's domestic abuse, never good, whatsoever. And if you go out there and read the reports, he's at large right now, just running away from the cops. So what he did was wrong.
He's the wrong reason.
The gas pedal is on the floor right now. He's getting out of there. Yeah.
But it is for the wrong reason. So Cam Sutton is off the list. He is removed from consideration for this exercise. The first one we have up though is Adoree Jackson, former New York Giants cornerback. Has some of that length that you like, has some of that pedigree, had a pretty good year last year. Also may require the most amount of money to acquire him via free agency. I think SpotTrack has his AAV estimated at $12 million a year. At $12 million a year, are you gas or pass on Adoree Jackson? 28 years old.
I'm sorry, but I'm pass. If I didn't want to keep LeJarius Sneed for $19 million per year, I'm not going to get a guy who's a year older than him, who's a little bit also shorter than Sneed. He's 5'11", and yeah, no, I'm good. Like I think I'm passing on Adoree Jackson.
I'm passing on Adoree Jackson as well. I don't think so. The next one up is J.C. Jackson. We're talking 2023 or 2024 J.C. Jackson, cool. not 2020 and 2021
J.C.
Jackson.
Oh, gross. Yeah. 2024 J.C. Jackson. Oh, man.
I know, yeah. So I don't think he would command much money at this point in his career.
He'd be cheap.
We've talked about him before, but at this point with Legere Sneed outside of the picture, are you gassing or passing on JC Jackson?
Okay, so for him it's a little bit different. If say the draft happens and JC Jackson's still a free agent, I wouldn't mind after the draft him signing for like a camp type of invite type of thing and see how it worked that way. I wouldn't be inking it to paper if actually signing a 1-year deal with JC Jackson, because you don't know what JC Jackson you're gonna get. So I would at least hold off a little bit for now. And if somehow you don't get him later on, just another guy. Like, you can find another corner. Like, I think you should pass for now, but maybe hit the gas later.
Give him a camp invite, work him out, and see what he looks like.
Exactly.
I think I'm there. All right, and our third one we're going to throw out there. There's a lot of other guys, but like for one, like Patrick Peterson, he's too old. We're not going to go with him.
We're talking about
guys who could actually come in and play snaps in the meaningful snaps in the role, possibly. All right, fine. I'll give you Patrick Peterson. Gas or pass?
I'm passing, man. I'm passing.
All right. Don't sit here and, oh gosh.
I like Patrick P, man. I grew up watching that. It's weird now. I'm at that age where I've watched a guy's career go through, and it's like now they're leaving. I'm at that age now where I'm seeing that happen. I don't want to lose the good guys.
Wait until you like watch a guy's whole career and you watch him retire.
Albert Pujols.
And then suddenly his son gets drafted. Oh. And then he's now starting his career. Like, I remember very vividly when Marvin Harrison was drafted by the Colts and being very excited about that, because the Colts were my number two team. Yeah. I remember Chris Jenkins Sr. playing football. Heck, I remember Orlando Brown Sr. catching the flag in the eyeball and going almost blind in one eye. Yeah. Yeah. I remember
I've seen that on YouTube. Things,
Kramer. Yeah. So I was watching the game when he caught the flag in the eyeball. So yeah, it's a different feeling. I'm at the point now where I watch guys get drafted, do their whole career, retire, join the Hall of Fame, see another guy I really like replace them on the team. And then I'm like, oh, they have this hot young player. And then I look up and that guy's 31 years old now. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. This is getting a little long in the tooth here, Magana. So I digress. Akello Witherspoon, that's the last one on our list. Akello Witherspoon, gas or pass?
I think I'd gas on this one. We saw him go from Pittsburgh Steelers a couple years ago to the Rams last year. And he actually, I think, outperformed what most people would have thought while I'm leaving Pittsburgh. And what he had, like, with three interceptions, maybe. I think, yeah, three interceptions, had a 9 assisted with 52 combo on tackle-wise, which, I mean, if he's out there getting his hands into things, he's going to be out. I think Witherspoon's a guy you should kick tires on and you should hit the gas pedal on.
I agree. I think he's, like, $10 million. Maybe it's the AAV on him. If you can give him for a little less than that, I'm definitely gassing. Mm-hmm. You can give him around the $8 million mark.
Which he could take a discount to play for a team that is destined to win a Super Bowl again.
Yeah, should. He should take a discount if he wants to win a Super Bowl. And he played a lot of snaps on the perimeter for the Rams, right? And so he played a lot of snaps on the perimeter for the Rams this past year. And so I think I would guess Akello Witherspoon as well as an option. He's not going to be a Sneed replacement. Don't expect to be a Sneed replacement. You can't replace a Jerry Sneed, just like you couldn't replace Chris Jones. You can't replace Travis Kelce, and you couldn't replace Patrick Mahomes. You'll never replace these greatest of all time guys. If you're looking for a good player to slot in there, I think Akello Witherspoon fits the mold. But free agents are expensive. Mm-hmm. You know what aren't expensive, Kramer Sansone?
The cheap young guys.
Yeah, rookies. Yeah. Rookies are cheap. Even first-round draft pick rookies are super cheap. And there's a lot of cornerbacks in this draft, at the top of this draft, that, and a lot of talk about some of these guys sliding. Like, I saw a big board that had Cooper DeJean listed as, was it the 35th prospect?
Wow, really?
Yeah, and PFF has what, McKinstry, like 36, I think.
Criminal. Yeah, right, that's very
because
criminal.
They don't think he's fast enough. But there's one thing we know about the Chiefs is that they'll take a guy who might not be fast enough to play corner and just have him like just hit the like L'Jarius Sneed wasn't fast enough. He wasn't like I think he had like a 4.47, which isn't exceptionally fast for a cornerback. And so guys like that, you know, and there's only so many cornerbacks that are going to be taken in round one. Like that's the whole thing is you have like the same thing with wide receivers, right? There's only so many teams that need that position that are going to take that position in round one. And so if you have enough good guys, a guy is going to slide to you. I'm the proponent though, that if you want your guy and he gets close enough, you should go and get him. Don't wait for your guy. Go get your guy. And I think that Brett Veach has shown that that's his mindset as well. He went and got Trent McDuffie. He went and got Patrick Mahomes, right? You know?
Yeah.
If there's a guy that he wants, he's going to go get him. So let's talk about some guys, some cornerbacks who might slide. Who's a cornerback that might slide that you got your eye on?
So I like TJ Tampa. I feel like he's a dude that will be there. I think he could be. I think he's at least a corner that I know for a fact will be there at 32. Just because of, I mean, there's a lot of good corners in this draft, and I don't see a DeJean there, a McKinstry, a Wiggins at that point in time if they don't trade up. I think the Chiefs desperately need to trade up this draft if they need to get a quote unquote Sneed replacement, even if they don't even go for the corner route. They need to trade up no matter what. I think Tampa's there. I think Tampa's the guy that's going to be there at 32. But is Tampa the guy you really want, though? Because if Kool-Aid's there at, like, say, 24, I'm going to go up to 24.
That's where I'm at. Like, I wouldn't mind Tampa at 32. But if Kool-Aid's there at 24, then I'm mad if we didn't go get Kool-Aid and we left and we settled for Tampa. Yeah, and the other thing with TJ Tampa is, like, when I'm looking at these guys, I'm trying to look at not just how well they did last year. And then here's what the tough thing is about evaluating the situation the Chiefs are in. Hardly any, college teams play press man coverage like the Chiefs do. It's all zone schemes. You look at these guys, and you look at the percentage of time that they were in zone. There was literally like maybe two guys in this class who are top 150 picks that played more than 50% press man coverage. And that is Nate Wiggins and Elijah Jones from Boston College. So Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, Elijah Jones from Boston College. Nate Wiggins played the third highest amount of press man coverage in college football last year. He played 58% of the time in press man coverage.
And the thing with that is people know that the Chiefs play that, so they're going to find a way not to get that guy on their team. You know what I mean? It's like kind of like blowing smoke up people's other end. Like, saying, oh, this guy's terrible. Oh, no. And they end up actually drafting the guy. Like, that's just – if Nate Wiggins could be there, if they, heck, even if he's at 24, even I think Nate Wiggins gets picked before that, Chiefs need to trade up, Rocky. If they don't trade up, I think this draft is a failure. I firmly believe that.
We're going to talk about that here in a bit. And people talk a lot about their round one grades. There's a certain number of round one players in this draft that where there's a drop off. Once you get past those players, it's a drop off. And if you get one of the players before that drop off, there's a clear divider mark. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. And so, but Nate Wiggins and Khalil McKinstry are on the good side of that draft. When you go to the Grand Canyon, you stand on the ledge, you look down into the crater. They're the ones standing at the top looking down. Everybody else is in the crater. Right? You want to be on the top, not on the bottom. Right? Looking at the crater, not in the crater.
Exactly.
All right, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Cooper DeJean, man, like, it's a blasphemy for this guy to get outside of the top 15 picks in the draft, I think. I think Cooper DeJean, if he hadn't been injured, may have been the first defensive player taken in this draft. He would have been cornerback one. The guy was playing lights out, just crazy football before he got injured. but injuries cause guys to slide. Will he slide to 32? I do not think so. I think that that is a lot of smoke right now as well. But if he slides down to the 20s, like I'll put it this way. Of the three big guys, the big like elite players, Cooper DeJean, Cooley McKinstry, Nate Wiggins, I'm saying Cooper DeJean's number one for me above yes. Nate Wiggins and, yes. And Cooley McKinstry if he gets to that point. And so we'll just have to wait and see. But if any of those guys enter in the 20s, I say you get to pick once there's a two in front of those draft picks, right? It's not pick two. But once you get in the 20s, if one of those guys is there and you can make a move to get him, then you make the move to get him. And then you figure out the rest after that. Offensive tackle is also still a need. Right now, Wanya Morris is slated to be the starting offensive tackle for the Chiefs. Drafted him last year. He's a prospect. He's unproven. He took some bullets last year with mixed results, right? You know,
very raw talent.
Very raw talent. There isn't a draft. There isn't a offensive tackle in round one that I feel comfortable the Chiefs taking. That's any less raw than he is. That's within their range. So I don't think the Chiefs are going to take a tackle in round one. But there are some free agent left tackles, and with that $19 million that was suddenly freed up for Legarius Sneed, could the Chiefs be looking to sign an offensive tackle? DJ Humphreys, still young, excellent player, was Arizona said that he was released. Their GM said in an interview that it gutted him to have to release him for like cap reasons. But if you look on the NFL transaction wire, he's not listed as being released. And SpotTrack doesn't have him listed as an available free agent. But the general manager said that he was gutted. And there's another article that said he might return to the team on like a smaller contract. So maybe they had to have released him to free up the cap. And so it's a weird situation, but from everything I can gather, I think he is a free agent at this point. I would love for the Chiefs to get DJ Humphreys. That's a no brainer at their left tackle position. He'd be the left tackle of the future. He's young enough that you can sign him to a 6-year contract and feel fine about it.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? He got injured last year, but I mean, he's young enough that I don't think any offensive tackle goes his whole career without suffering an injury. It's just the nature of that position.
You play hurt if you're an offensive tackle.
Yeah, exactly. So I think DJ Humphreys is a slam dunk to spend the money on if he's available and interested. Are there any other tackles that are in free agency that pique your interest?
One that piques my interest, and you can check a box knowing that this playing surface is grass, is David Bakhtiari. I there's a reason why he didn't go to the Jets, because one, Tyron Smith was signed there, and it's a turf field. Arrowhead's grass. Bakhtiari, I know, is hurt. He's been hurt the past 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't know how he's always hurt. But him coming here, probably on it would probably be a cheaper deal because people are too worried to spend the money out there. So maybe if it's like a $7, $8, $9, $10 million deal on a 1 year, like, hey, let's see what you can do at left tackle. Why not? I think he still, when healthy, is one of the best tackles in the game to protect your quarterback. So I wouldn't mind David Bakhtiari here, and I think I wouldn't be shocked if some Chiefs fans would agree with me, honestly.
I mean, when healthy is the key word with Bakhtiari, mm-hmm. but when healthy, he might be the best tackle in the NFL.
Yeah.
When healthy, he's an all-pro. He's like, the last time he was fully healthy, he was an all-pro. When healthy, he is putting up like Pro Football Reference has their like AV stat, which is like the overall value basically of a player based upon their performance. Like the average guy is like a 5 or a 6 or a 7, right? Like an average good player. He was putting up like 13s and 14s when he was healthy. Like this guy is dominant when healthy.
Just has to be healthy.
So I think that it's one of those situations where maybe a 1 year deal that's extremely incentive laden with not likely to be earned incentives, like we saw with with Hollywood Brown and like we saw with Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Like have playing game, like game bonuses. Like, mm-hmm. like Hollywood Brown gets $250,000 for every game that he plays in.
That's Dude, awesome.
Like give David Bakhtiari $1 million for every game he plays in. Like, make his entire contract game based, right? Like, you play 3 quarters or more in a game and you get $1 million.
If he plays all 17, that's $17 million right there. So I mean, why not?
That's $17 million. That's a great contract. And guess what? He played what, I think 3 last year. So that's all so 3 of those are likely to be earned. So that's like 3 yeah. against the cap, and then 14 million not likely to be earned. That if he earns them, will get knocked against next year's cap. But that's next year. We're talking about this year.
We want the three-peat to happen this year.
That's a problem for future. For future Brett Veach and future Rocky Magaña and future Kramer Sansone, we'll balance the books, we'll cook them, we'll make it happen.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, but there's other ways you can do that too, right? You allow 3 sacks or fewer throughout the course of the year, you get money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's all sorts of stuff you could do. You play so many snaps, you get X amount of dollars. But yeah, I think that it'd be a no brainer for the Chiefs to do that. All right, moving on. A couple other guys is Andre Dillard. Used to be really good, got hurt, seemed to be garbage. I think that he's a dumpster fire.
Get him out of here.
There's a reason why they didn't want him in Tennessee, and he's done. I'm passing on him. No gas on Dillard.
No gas on Dillard for me.
I agree 100%. And then the last one that's kind of intriguing is Charles Leno. Charles Leno played a lot of left tackle. He was healthy. Didn't play to the level of DJ Humphries or David Bakhtiari, but played at a level higher than Donovan Smith.
Yes.
And the guy is pretty reliable. He's played a lot of snaps in the NFL. As a stopgap 1 year guy, I wouldn't hate Charles Leno as an insurance policy and just let him and Wanya battle it out in camp and see who wins.
Heck, and he's a good veteran that's out there as well. I don't know how many games he'll start. He's slow. Like, that's the only thing Charles Leno is. He's slow. His feet are like lead. That's the only problem with him. And Father Time's ticking up against him. Even though I think David Bakhtiari is older than him. But it's like, I don't know. I think I'm gonna pass on Charles Leno.
You know, the thing with Charles Leno's feet being like lead, it's like he would fit right in with all the left tackles we've had over the last 5 years.
But I wouldn't even say he's an upgrade over Donovan Smith at this point in his career.
That's true. You told yourself, like, there's nobody who's slower than Orlando Brown Jr.
That's true.
Then you had Donovan Smith at points last year. And then this year you said there's nobody slower than Donovan Smith. And then you get Charles Leno out there. And you're like, oh man, we are trending in the wrong direction, I guess. All right, so what we're telling ourselves is David Bakhtiari or DJ Humphries are
best. Yes, yes, yes.
Is where we're at right now.
Because you cannot draft an offensive tackle at all this draft. You just can't. There's none.
None that are going to be ready to play football anytime soon. Like,
and you need a guy right now.
Yeah, like Kingsley Suamatia from BYU. Awesome, awesome prospect. He needs 2 years. I think he needs at least 2 years before he's ready. The same with Patrick Paul out of Houston. I wrote him up on the site. The dude's got a mean streak. Really, really bad time with like over leveraging and getting out above his skis when he's just so tall, and bad strike position and bad strike timing. I mean, even some of these guys at the very top of the draft aren't perfect. Like Olu out of Penn State, like he even has trouble with like strike timing and stuff. There's Joe Alt, and then I like JC Latham a bunch, but he's a right tackle, right? And I don't want to take a right tackle in round one and expect him to flip, even if he could flip. Like, it's just, this is not the draft to like get a plug and play tackle. And this is a draft where you could take a tackle, but you're going to develop them over 2 years before you see any fruits. And that's not what you do when you're trying to three-peat.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Moving on. So we're not doing a 6 hour podcast tonight so that we don't, this isn't the length of like a Netflix true crime doc, right? You know? All right. So round one scenarios, let's talk about this here. So what are some scenarios that would either or like sink and like scuttle the Chiefs' entire plans in the draft, or what are some wild scenarios that you could see the Chiefs possibly doing that would like raise eyebrows, but that you'd be like, HE double hockey sticks. Yeah, man. I'm about it.
What I'm curious is with all of this, with the scenarios, the only way it's going to work out is what the AFC West does. Knowing that everyone's above them, clearly, because I mean, the Chiefs are the 32nd overall pick. What is exactly the Chargers are going to do? If they trade back and get more picks and also keep a first rounder in front of them, are they going to take a wide receiver? Are they going to go on a defensive side of things? Because I think they're the biggest question mark. And whether we see what the – say if they get a wide receiver, then I can assume that the Chiefs probably won't go for a wide receiver in the first round. They might end up going for a corner because there's a more surplus of corners there if they actually want to trade up. And then you look at the Raiders. What are they going to do? They definitely don't need a wide receiver, so they're probably going to draft a corner. They probably won't even do that. If they end up not doing that, they're at least getting another edge rusher or a linebacker or something, hopefully. But I think it lies along what the Raiders and the Chargers are going to do, because you already know the Broncos are going to have a quarterback that they probably want. They probably will end up trading up to get a quarterback. If I'm the Chiefs, you trade up to either get a wide receiver or a corner. That's the only way this is going to work for you guys up there. And you have to get at least a 21. You have to at least get to 20. I can't remember what we did with our mock draft. But I think it was our 21st overall pick. Didn't we make the trade that way?
I think so. And that's a good point you're talking about there. We're going to talk about it right now. So for Kansas City, like guys, every draft has first round draft picks. There's never enough first round draft pick graded guys to fill out all 32 spots. Not a single draft has 32 first round draft pick graded guys. There's always second round draft pick graded guys taken in the back half of the first round, because that's just the amount of talent, you know, that's in every single draft. This is a talented draft, but there's 21 first round talent guys. And so if the Chiefs get to 21, they're guaranteed a first round talent guy. Now, some of those guys the Chiefs don't want, and these guys are going to be taken before the Chiefs pick anyway. God bless them. That's the best case scenario. But I'll go through them real quick. This is not my big board ranking. This is literally how I just typed them out from memory on a sheet of paper. But we got Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Brian Thomas Jr., Joe Alt, Olu. I'm not going to try to pronounce his entire name because I have too much respect for him as a person, but from Penn State, the left tackle, J.C. Latham from Alabama, right tackle, Quinion Mitchell, Adonai Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeJean, Cooley McKinstry, Wiggins, Brock Bowers, J.J. McCarthy, Jared Verse, Dallas Turner, Byron Murphy, and Jerzon Newton. That's the first-round grades that I have for players. Everybody below that does not have a first-round grade for me. They have a second-round grade. Could be a high second-round grade. Doesn't mean they're bad football players. Doesn't mean they're going to turn out being bad players. Doesn't mean that they're not going to be great Chiefs players. Rashee Rice had a second-round grade for me last year. Rashee Rice is awesome. He was awesome. I mean, there's a lot of people that had a third-round grade on him by the time season was
I'm shocked you actually had him at a second-round grade. That's good. He was on the money last year.
At one point, he was my wide receiver one in the draft, early in the draft. I liked him a lot because of his contested catch ability that he showed early in the season last year. But that's the thing. It's like just because they don't have a first-round grade doesn't mean they're not a good player. It just means that they're not an elite prospect. And not every elite prospect pans out. We know this every year, guys. But the Chiefs have a better chance of finding success if they take one of these guys. And so I think that pick 21 with Miami Dolphins is the landing spot that we're going for. And the reason why I say pick 21 for the Miami Dolphins is A, because of the number. And pick 20, you go all the way up to 20 with the Pittsburgh Steelers, probably not much different from the asking price. But once you get beyond that, the Philadelphia Eagles at 22 aren't trading with the Chiefs.
Yeah, no.
Minnesota Vikings probably aren't trading with the Chiefs either because they traded into that position. They wanted that pick. They traded into that pick. So unless they're planning on trading that pick to move up, they're not trading that pick. Like if they're going to combo that, if they want to move up and get a quarterback, right? Maybe they're going to try to take their, 12th pick or their 11th pick. They pick 11 and 23. Maybe they're going to try to combo 11 and 23 and use those to move up to get a quarterback. Nonetheless, you're not touching that 23 pick from Minnesota. Maybe from the team that Minnesota trades with, if they want to get more picks, sure. But and then we know from last year, the Chiefs tried to trade with the Cowboys, and Jerry Jones was like, I don't even pick up the phone from them. Last thing I want to do is make that Hunt family.
That might be different, though, this year because of the cap issues they're having down there. There's a lot of holes in the Cowboys.
The Chiefs and the Cowboys have a bragging rights trophy that they pass back and forth from each other. They are their families are very close and they're very close friends, but it's also a healthy rivalry where the Cowboys don't want to help the Chiefs succeed. like Jerry Jones does not want to see the Chiefs three-peat. Why? Because his team won back-to-back Super Bowls.
Oh yeah.
You think that he wants the Hunt family to be able to say, oh wow, you guys won two in a row, we won three in a row. They live in the same neighborhood. There's no way. Right? And so they're not picking at 24. So then we're saying, okay, Green Bay might trade with them. Okay.
Yeah, but if you get to 25 at that point, I think you might have already lost the guys you want.
What's the point then? What are you even doing? Right? And so 21 is literally as low as you can go and with it still being like reasonable. And so that's why I'm saying 21 to the Dolphins is the sweet spot. And I would like it to be 23 or 22 or something like that, but those guys, it's just not going to happen. Right. And so that's what the trade up is going to have to be to 21. With that being said, let's roll straight into our seven round mock draft. Crane, we're going to do a seven-round mock draft for you guys today for the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to let the computer pick for us when we're not picking. And then after that, we'll wrap up the episode with we'll each plant our flag on our guys that we're sold on, who we're passionate about, and tell the people why we're passionate about them. But with this whole discussion that we're having today, Crane, I think that before we even start this mock draft, we need to do it with the Chiefs moving up to that 21 spot.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we could do one later on and before the draft where we stay put and see what the difference is and kind of compare the two. But for this exercise. I think the Chiefs need to move up to 21.
Using
like the Rich Hill trade value chart and the one that PFF has, it's somewhere around pick 32, the third round draft pick that they got for the Jarius Sneed, and pick 173 to move up for pick 21. I think that feels like fair compensation, right?
Yes.
173, a future third rounder, and 32.
Yep.
And then Miami's getting, they're moving back 11 spots, but they're getting another pick this year, and they need it because they are in cap hell as well. And then also they have an extra third rounder for next year. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to
execute that bad boy,
execute this trade. And that being said, I need to add this screen here to our
sweet. So I can see what you're playing around with.
So you can see what we're doing. You guys get to see how the sausage is made a little bit here. Boom. All right, here we go. The mock draft is ready to start. We're kicking it off. Let's see what happens. All right, so Brian Thomas Jr. is off the board.
Gosh.
Off the board. And so at the top here, the Chiefs options are Cooper DeJean, Byron Murphy, Jerzon Newton, Nate Wiggins. This is why I'm saying Chiefs need to trade up. Like, all in real life, all these guys aren't going to be here, but one of these guys is guaranteed to be here.
Yep.
In real life, if we trade up to 21. Obviously, I think Cooper DeJean is like the slam dunk pick here, but I like Byron Murphy and Jerzon Newton both a lot as well.
But do we need a defensive line guy right off the bat? Do we, though?
That's the question. Do we?
We just signed Chris Jones to a lucrative extension. I think we're good with the rotational pieces around him.
If you remember in the Super Bowl on that last drive, Chris Jones was gassed and had to go in the game, and they needed him in there like five plays beforehand, and he basically told Andy Reid he couldn't play because he was too tired. So they do need another interior pass rusher, I think, and they also need interior red stuffer. But with this mock, I want to be true to it also and say, like, okay, I want to take Cooper DeJean, but is that really factual that he's going to be there? Maybe because of the injury, right? And so is Byron Murphy going to be there? Not most mock drafts have him going in the teens now, but 21, that's what I'm saying. You move up to 21, everything is possible at that point, right?
Would you go best available then at this point in time? Or if we're going around here, we see one of the guys that we like that we know that plays the coverage that the Chiefs do with Nate Wiggins. Like, do we think that we can solidify him in there? Are we valuing Wiggins over DeJean at this point in time?
I know. So that's the question, is that I almost think like I'm still true to Cooper DeJean, but there's the injury concern. The injury concern is still there, right? Is he the same player? We don't know. We haven't seen him play.
And Nate Wiggins fits the system. He fits the system.
He fits the system. He is small, but he plays big. And here's the thing with Nate Wiggins is he's not great in run defense, but it's not because he's not willing. It's because he's skinny, right? He still gets his body in there, right? He's a willing participant. So we're going to say Nate Wiggins here. Is that what you think?
I'm full aboard.
All right, we're going Nate Wiggins to the 21st pick. If the Chiefs take Nate Wiggins at 21, I am super stoked. It's a slam dunk in my mind. So we're going Nate Wiggins. Our own Nate Christensen, who is a huge Hawkeyes fan, if you listen to this, my heart is with Cooper. I hope I'm making the right decision. Here we go.
Good pick, Rocky. All right.
Man, here we go.
Quick.
Yeah, that's why I did the draft ahead of time. There's no way you're pausing this to propose a draft in the middle. All right, pick 64.
Ooh, I saw a guy I like right now. Oh,
yeah,
man.
So we're definitely probably thinking wide receiver here.
Yes,
right?
You
like Jalen Polk, I know, right?
Polk. Yeah, I saw it. Yes.
Jalen McMillan, Devontae Walker, Javon Baker, the Chiefs just brought in on a top 30 visit. This week, and so he just met with
interesting.
Jamari Thrash, I like him a lot. Maybe not at 64. Malachi Corley and Brendan Rice. I love Brendan Rice. I'm a big Brendan Rice guy.
I think you have to go with one of these Washington guys, though. Polk.
So here's the difference. Yeah. So Jalen McMillan is an elite slot receiver. He's elite out of the slot. Chiefs need a guy on the outside.
Mm-hmm. And Polk's your guy from the outside.
So if we're going on guys on the outside, I'm going Polk over McMillan. DeVontez Walker is almost off my draft board, and I get hate a lot for this, but
I'm not a big fan of Walker either.
I didn't see it with the tape, and I was scared. When I watched the tape, I was scared that everybody who had him in the middle of the first round a couple months ago before the Senior Bowl, I was like, what am I missing with this guy? What am I missing? And then he goes to the Senior Bowl, has a horrible Senior Bowl, and now he's in the second round. So I'm out on him.
And how much of it is Drake May helping Walker out rather than McMillan and Polk helping out Penix, you know?
Oh, 100%. Penix is bad
inaccurate.
Throws.
Oh, man, oof. Inaccurate. Yeah. So inaccurate.
So Jalen Polk isn't fast, and that's my only concern, is that there isn't really any speed.
But you have Hollywood Brown.
You do have Hollywood Brown. All right, we're going Jalen Polk here.
Yeah. No, he was actually going to be my punch the ticket in there, but I decided to go different. I like Polk a lot.
I like Polk a lot too. I'm big on Polk. He's not great run after the catch, but
the thing is, you need a possession catcher, and he's a possession catcher.
Oh man, Brendan Rice is still here. Do we double dip at wide receiver?
No, you don't double dip at wide receiver.
I love Brendan Rice though. Brendan Rice is great though. Dadrian Taylor Dimmons saying we don't need a safety. Maris Luifuau. How do you pronounce it?
What would you think? So we got the corner off the board. We got our corner. We got our wide receiver. Now, would you say the next need for the team would be a linebacker, or would you think it's on the defensive line? I think it's still defense. Maybe it's an offensive lineman. Maybe. Maybe get some depth. Is there a tight end that we like? I don't know if you know if they're even in a market for a tight end after Irv Smith was signed on that 1-year deal. They just
brought Eric Allen on a top 30 visit as well.
Well, Eric Allen, isn't he more of a he's more of a blocking tight end? So I mean, he's like a better upgrade than Noah Gray that we have at this point in time.
Yeah, we got Eric Hall, Cade Stover, Ben Sennett.
Do you want four tight ends coming in? Like, do you want four?
No, and not at pick 35 either. That's too rich for all those guys. Let's look at offensive tackles, see where we're at, developmental tackle. Dominic Pooney, he's going to get shifted inside the guard. Let's see here. Let's look at interior defensive linemen. Michael Hall Jr. is a really interesting prospect. Leonard Taylor was misused criminally at Miami. They lined him up in the one tech a lot. It was just like he was just like their most talented and most athletic defensive lineman. So they just like moved him all over and lined him up all over. Like he was like the Miami coaching staff did him zero favors. But when he flashes, he is unstoppable and dominant. Michael Hall Jr., great pass rusher, undersized.
You know how you mentioned the thing about Chris Jones being gassed, of course, in the Super Bowl? This would probably be the time to also get a defensive lineman. And it's like, I don't think we should have gotten a defensive lineman in the first round because there's not even a need for it. But we're in the third round now, and my mindset is, all right, let's get depth. Let's get the guy possibly for the future. This is still a third-round pick. There's still a lot of players in the NFL are our third round talent that end up becoming absolute studs in the league. So I think, yeah, let's find a defensive line guy here.
All right, we're going defensive line. So we got Michael Hall Jr., pass rush, Dwayne Carter, solid all around guy, Leonard Taylor, Christian Boyd, Kansas City boy.
I think you can hold off on him though.
That's rich for this. Either one of the LSU guys, Mekhi Wingo and Masan Smith. I think those too early for those guys. I think that it's really either Michael Hall or Leonard Taylor for me at this point.
I'm a bigger fan of the athleticism what Leonard Taylor can bring and like his physical size. Like I'm a Leonard Taylor fan.
All right, Leonard Taylor, here we go. Punching that ticket. All right, pick 131. Let's rock and roll.
Late four.
Oh, talking about our developmental offensive tackle.
Oh, Christian man. Jones.
We're talking about Christian Jones from Texas. We're talking about a guy who played like almost 2,000 snaps in college, I think it was, at left tackle. Let's look at how many – let's look at his snaps real quick, his snap count here. All right, so we're talking he played almost 700 at left tackle and then, like, another 1,700 at right tackle.
So he hasn't played left tackle since 2021. Oh man.
Yeah, but that's because there was other prospects that came in, right?
Yeah.
He got shifted over. But I mean, the guy's huge.
The guy's big. Guy's got a good trunk on him.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'6", 321. He's played against top competition. He held up well against top competition. He grades out really well in pass blocking. He only gave up one sack last year, 2 hits total.
I mean, why not? Why not also, if the Chiefs were to draft him, why not have him be, if it's not the starting job over on the left side, why can't he be a backup to Juwan Taylor? Because you never know how, if he's going to, I mean, remember, he got benched. He got benched last year.
Christian Jones is the ideal swing tackle candidate.
Yeah.
Right? To have a backup swing tackle. So I'm going to say Christian Jones.
Yeah, he fell to us. Yeah.
All right, we're going Christian Jones at pick 131. Our next pick is pick 159.
So what I'm curious is, if it was me, if I'm in Brett Veach's shoes, I think I'd draft on the corner. I know you probably wouldn't, but we have this pick, and we have one more pick after this. And would it be a slap in the face to Wiggins if we end up drafting a corner late? I mean, I'm just suggesting something here.
I wouldn't say it's slap in the face to Wiggins. It'd be a slap in the face to a guy like Jalen Watson or Nazi Johnson. But you're filling out your roster with the best players you can get.
Exactly.
So I'm not opposed to it. But looking at this here,
I mean, there's probably not going to be much.
There's Nehemiah Pritchett, Tarib Still, Ryan Watts. Kamal Hayden is an interesting guy around this range.
Because you also got to think, too, you don't have a sixth-round pick. So your next pick – wait. It's 2021, pick 221 in the sixth, or is that the seventh? I want to say it's the seventh.
It's the seventh, yeah.
So it's like you have a big gap between this pick and your next pick. Unless you trade on in – but I mean, I'm assuming we're not doing that with this. But if like the Chiefs need something, because you already we already drafted our tackle, we drafted our defensive line, wide receiver, and corner at this point. So are we just backing, like piggybacking off of some of these guys?
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. I think that cornerback may be prudent here just to like double dip a little bit on need.
Sorry, my cat is going loud right now.
I thought you had a child in your house. I was like, are you hiding children in your apartment, Kramer?
Nope, my guy Moon just came in on here just meowing his head off.
That's hilarious. There's not a lot of great edge rushers.
McGregor's not bad.
He's not bad.
Because he also, because Mike Dan is a free agent. So are we maybe a pass rush on that for a more of a depth on that side, maybe? Oh, Hooper. Yeah. Or Hopper.
You like Tyron Hopper?
Hopper, yeah. Oh, man.
Out of Missouri?
I like him a lot. He's a bigger version of Nick Bolton. I just think they played the exact same way, but he can actually do more coverage on the pass coverage.
You think so? So you're thinking Tyron Hopper here.
At 159 though.
I'd almost say Steel Chambers.
Oh, I didn't know Steel Hopper. I didn't even know Steel was still on the board.
Yeah, I'm gonna say if we're gonna do that. I'd almost say Steel Chambers because he's an athlete.
Yeah, he's listed as athlete. Heck, if he needs to put him at the edge. I mean, he might be a little bit smaller on the smaller scale size of the edge, but he can get to the quarterback.
The other thing is, do the Chiefs need a running back? Chiefs definitely need a running back.
Dylan Lobby's there.
Do you want your guy Dylan Lobby?
Oh, let's get 159? Dylan Lobby. Dude, you just got me so happy, man. This guy. Hey, here's your wide receiver. Here's your running back. Here's your punt returner, kick returner. That's what this guy does. He can play in the slot as well.
Everything you possibly want. The only thing I'm going to say over Dylan Lobby is, would you rather have him or is there a wide receiver that we want? Like Luke McCaffrey.
Same player. I think you can get more out of Lobby. Because I mean, right, McCaffrey's not going to be taking any handoffs. He's not like his brother.
All right, we'll say Dylan Lobby.
It's up to you, though. So you want
the McCaffrey that's not a McCaffrey.
Yeah, exactly.
Dylan Lobby, here we go. Pick 159 to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Let's go.
Never see Kraber get so stoked for a guy who's not picked at the top 150 players in the draft.
Dude, that guy just gets yards and yards and yards and yards and touchdowns and touchdowns and touchdowns. Like, he's a freak.
He is a freak. All right, finally, last pick of the draft for the Chiefs. The passion pick. The guy that we got to find somebody. We took Christian Jones. I like as a late ticket guy, Anin Donkwa, just because he's huge and long and very, 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 very raw. But we already took a tackle, so maybe not. What do they do here? What do you do if you're Brett Veach with this final pick to take one last swing? I got one guy that I think maybe the Chiefs might be interested in if he's still on the board here, and that would be Jared Wiley, tight end out of TCU. He's basically the Travis Kelce story. Former high school quarterback, converted to inline tight end, 6'6", 260, moves really well in space, has pretty good hands, needs some development. I like him a lot, though. I think he's a really good athlete. And at pick 221, you're basically just throwing a dart anyway. So,
hey,
I'm going to say Jerry Wiley. His tape is a lot of fun, actually. Like, and the thing is that he silently was like a guy that nobody really talked about, but he ended up with 520 yards receiving and 8 touchdowns on the year in a very weak tight end class. So if he's here, he only had one drop. I like him a lot. I think he's actually a pretty good prospect. So,
Horn Frog, maybe.
You get him in the room with Travis Kelce and just have Travis Kelce teach him everything he knows, and you might have something there.
It's true. So
we're going to take Jared Wiley, pick 221. All right. And that wraps up the Chiefs draft.
That feels good.
I think it's a good, well-rounded draft. And I feel like it kind of hits on every single like little bullet point that the Chiefs have. Let's see how horribly the PFF computer ranked it, though. They always give you a terrible grade when you do think you did really good. All right, Nate Wiggins. So here's recapping our draft really quick, guys. It's round first pick in the first round, Nate Wiggins. Round 2, 64th pick, Jalen Polk. Round 3, 95th pick, Leonard Taylor. Round 4, pick 131, Christian Jones. Round 5, pick 159, Dylan Lobby. Round 7, pick 221, Jared Wiley. And that is your Kansas City Chiefs 2024 draft class right there. Etch it in stone. Brett Veach, here you go. We did the work for you. You know exactly how it's going to fall and what you're going to do. We're getting to the end of our show here, Kramer. So before we go, let's take a moment and let's talk about a couple of guys who we just want to plant our flag on and say, these are our guys. I'm going to bang the table for this dude. Who's your guy that you want to bang the table for this week?
This week, I want to bang the table for Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon. I think this guy is absolutely going to be a guy that's going to be talked about a lot in the NFL, especially after this upcoming draft, but he's going to be sneaky good in the NFL. The size of this man is massive at corner, 6'4", that's what he's listed at. He's got length. He runs like a 4.5 40. I know it's not the fastest thing in the world, but this guy can jump. He can cover, and he might lag a little bit, but his size pans out and is the reason why he's able to make sensational plays like he did in Oregon.
I like Kyrie Jackson a lot. I think he's a great player. He's got the size and length that you want. My only concern is that he didn't play a ton of man coverage. If we're looking to replace,
this is a later round pick. This is a late round pick. Like, he's not going to be a guy you're going to draft in the third or the fourth. He's a fifth, sixth, seventh guy that you'd find there that has some upside.
All right. So we're talking about fifth, sixth round. If he's in the fifth, sixth round, I don't mind it at all. The guy that I'm going to talk about that I absolutely am enamored with is Elijah Jones from Boston College. He's somewhere in the 120s range, so he's a little bit of an in-betweener between where the Chiefs are picking at, and they would have to like make some moves for him. But this guy was literally, you want to talk about a guy who shut down the competition this year. Like, we're talking like this guy completely shut down the opposing competition. Like, you could say that that quarterback rating is not a good measure of success, right? Elijah Jones, when targeted this year, held opposing receivers to an 18.1 quarterback rating. 18.1. He gave up one touchdown. He allowed a total of 194 yards total on the season on 40 targets. He only allowed 13 receptions. He allowed we're talking his completion percentage that he allows is in the 30s. Like, this guy played press man coverage.
And what's he projected?
In the 120s. This guy had a completion percentage of 32.5% allowed against him last year for Boston College. He is long. He's 6'2", 184. He's a willing defender in run defense. He's not the strongest guy in the world. He gave up, like I said, he gave up 194 yards total. That 44 of those came on one play. He had one big play that he gave up, a 44-yard touchdown pass. This guy, he plays on the outside. I mean, I think that when I was looking at it, it was like Nate Wiggins played the third most press man coverage in college football in this draft class last year. Elijah Jones played the sixth most. Like, this guy is Kool-Aid McKinstry light, and Kool-Aid McKinstry is Legarius Sneed light, right? So yeah. This guy is like Legarius Sneed's little brother, like. But there's like three kids. Jerry Sneed's the oldest brother, and then this kid's like the youngest brother, right?
So he'd be like the RC Cola compared to all the Pepsis and Cokes.
If Jerry Sneed is Coca-Cola, this guy is RC Cola, but he's definitely not Shasta, right? He's above Shasta, but he's not quite Coca-Cola, right? Like, yeah. like if Jerry Sneed is Coca-Cola and Kool-Aid McKinstry's Pepsi, then Elijah Jones is RC Cola and everybody else is Shasta, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so I am all about Elijah Jones. Some people harp on him because he didn't have the best Senior Bowl, but I don't care about one-on-ones versus Senior Bowl. Show me the tape, and his tape is awesome. Show me the stats, and his stats are awesome. Like, the guy plays on the outside primarily. His average depth of target was 15.7 yards. Like, people were trying to press him downfield, and he defended it really well. So I'm saying, pounding the table, Elijah Jones, Boston College cornerback. If you don't trade up to take a guy in the first round, then make it happen with Elijah Jones. That's all I ask.
Alrighty. That's a hell of a, yes.
And there's nothing else to say. That's it. All right, so that's going to conclude and wrap up this episode of each season, you guys. And man, this is a journey, and I love this journey. Every week, I have more and more fun doing this with you, Crane. Like you're just like, you're the best dude in the world, and you're such a good friend. And I'm so happy I get to do this with such a good friend. And so I appreciate the heck out of you, bud.
Dude, likewise, man. Love you, Rocky.
Thanks, man. And so, as always, guys, keep like, we're really ramping up these draft profiles this week. There's a lot of guys coming in for top 30 visits, and we're going to hit them all. We're cranking them out as fast as possible. So check it out. Check out arrowheadpride.com for all of our draft profiles. You'll notice if it says on the board, that's a guy that the Chiefs have confirmation the Chiefs met with them. If it says draft darling before it, that's a guy that we're in love with as analysts that we like. And so that's how you can kind of differentiate between the two when you see them on the website. AP Draft Room with Ron Kopp, coming out every Friday. The editor's show on Wednesdays. As always, guys, like and review. If you think that we earned the privilege of your time, then leave us a 5-star review. If you didn't, still leave a review anyway. I read every single one of them, and I appreciate every single one of them truly. So, as always, thank you for the privilege of your time. It's been awesome. It's been fun. and just be good to each other. Just love on somebody you see today and try to be like the best part of that person's day. And hopefully they'll be the best part of your day. Just get out there and love on each other today. And let's have a great week, everybody. All right. Talk to you guys soon.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything. And now everything is data, which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.